listeners, and welcome along to the last episode in the current series of the Let's Colour podcast, Lifting the Lid.
Lifting the Lid.
The very special series where we have talked about nothing but changing rooms, because we haven't actually done anything else, have we? We're not that interesting, and all we've done is watch changing rooms.
Over and over and over again.
Absolutely, and I don't think there's anything wrong with that, actually. I don't care what other people think. I love the show. There you go. So as ever, we have got a great show planned for today as we review the latest episode of the Changing Room series.
We sure do. And in today's episode, we'll be looking at the show in all its glory. We'll be discussing and reviewing those amazing designs and giving you all the news and views from the episode and, of course, from behind the scenes.
Again, what a brilliant episode. So I cannot wait to hear more from you on those, Marianne. And of course, I will share my thoughts too. Anyway, then Marianne, we will be welcoming another, can you believe that, special guest for today. It is the one and only Tibby Singh. Love Tibby. Tibby is the actual superhero of the show, really, in our opinion, isn't he? And he is the resident carpenter and handyman. We'll be chatting to him all about the new series and what it's like to be part of such an iconic show.
And then we'll be doing a slightly different Dr. Dulux, as we won't be taking your questions, but we will be showing you how to recreate some of those amazing looks in your own homes for yourselves. Can we get going, please, Steph?
Definitely. I can't wait to have this final discussion with you on this episode, but it's really great. So let's get on with it, shall we?
Absolutely.
So in the latest episode, we were in Bury St. Edmunds and we were following the journey of Jamie and Leanna and then also Donna and Sarah. So Marianne, tell me a bit about your thoughts on this episode. What did you think? What were your favourite bits? What made you cringe?
First thing was, it was sad because it was the last one, so I was expecting
loads. Yeah, that's true.
I mean, it really delivered. I thought that that lovely relationship between Sir Lawrence and Anna just reached its pinnacle. It was so funny. They really kind of hit it off, and they were just, I loved the banter. I absolutely loved that banter. And, well, I mean, there was so much going on, and it was a real episode where you saw the stark difference. When I say stark difference, I mean the kind of the incredible opposite that Sir Lawrence and 2LG are, you know, Russell and Jordan are so, their styles are so different. And this was where you really saw that polar opposite. And actually, I think they probably were hugely successful for the right people. So I thought it worked really, really, really well. I did have my heart in my mouth all the way through it again, though. Oh, I did. Yeah, I did. But really brilliant. Surprising as well. I actually watched it again. Straight away afterwards.
Yeah.
And then I watched it again.
You just couldn't get enough.
Well, I just wanted to see everything that Lawrence had done.
Yes.
So
There's so many layers to that one there.
Absolutely. So you could really see where Russell and Jordan, you can see, because it's this minimalism, such joyful minimalism, and you can see everything. Yeah. Clocked it.
Yeah.
You get to Lawrence's and you go, what? Just stop. Can you stop and rewind? Yeah. Can you just go back? I just want to have a quick look at that. And actually, when I saw the whole room coming together, there was so much in it. And so many amazing elements that you couldn't really appreciate them on the first watch. So definitely,
I know what you mean. Let's dive into Gintalude as the first one, actually, because you're right. There's so much to talk about. We need to kind of focus on the really important bits.
Yes.
So this is Jamie and Leanna. Mm. So now Jamie and Leanna's original room. Let's talk about that for a second, because that was unadventurous, I believe the word was that was used. It was pretty, I think Jamie was a bit of a self-confessed control freak, wasn't he?
I think he was a control freak in a he self-confessed, but I think he was also, I think most people in decorating are quite nervous about what other people are going to think.
Yes,
and
that's
so
what it
you
was,
default
I think.
To
right.
that a kind of bland every person, you know, this is what is stylish, and it's just not very stylish and not very them, and so you never really get to know who that couple is because you can't work it out just by looking at the room.
I know what you mean. I did kind of feel like it was a bit, you know, we've probably all in a moment in time had a bit of a room that's been a bit like that, hasn't it? You know, the matching furniture and everything is kind of in a neutral backdrop that you can add a pop of colour through cushions, and you think, oh no, actually no, we should, you know, just don't make an apology for who you are. Put it on your walls. We love that. It did feel like it was inoffensive, to every man, and actually not really very them.
No, I also thought it was interesting. He knew exactly what he didn't like.
Yes.
And that was quite funny, and that was a bit, made me a bit nervous.
Yeah, he was very strong on that, wasn't he? Yeah, no pink. Yeah. No teal. Yeah. That was the instructions. Yeah. And obviously, lo and behold, what comes out of the tin? A bit of green, bit of blue.
Absolutely.
But Ginterlude. So that was the design manifesto. And I have to say, when Lawrence was kind of unveiling it, he was kind of talking about what this Ginterlude kind of meant. And I really did get the impression that he did come up with it after a good few gins, because I'm not even sure he knew where he was going with it at one point.
Well, I like the Bridgerton meets Greta Thunberg, and I like the idea of that sort of, you know, the lovely green of a gin bottle, that hugely dark green, and it was a bit kind of naughty, the naughty sort of Bridgerton Georgian feel to it. I loved that beautiful dark green. It was so gorgeous. What was that dark green called, Steph?
I loved this green. It was Mallard green from the Heritage Range.
It was Mallard. It was so beautiful.
When
he put it on the walls, I was terrified because I didn't think he'd like it. I didn't think Jamie would like it. Well, knew he wouldn't.
I know he was saying he doesn't like teal, right? But in my head, teal was like the kind of teal blues that we saw in that Swansea episode, kind of that very first episode where it was kind of peacock teal. Whereas this was like, well, this was mallard, mallard, so I guess it's kind of bird related.
Now the teal did creep in those chairs that looked a little bit like the kind of like the racing car of seats you could buy back in the 70s.
It was that stripe,
wasn't
it?
You could pimp your escort with those, and you'd have those kind of like, you know, the sort of teal seats with stripes. And I thought, I didn't like those. I'm sorry, Steph.
Felt like one of those things that was just that tad extra that you always get from LLB, that as soon as the door would be closed, that would be coming off. That would be off. But As a base scheme, though, I actually really liked it.
Yeah, I did too.
I mean, everyone knows I'm a fan of dark colour anyway. Yeah. But that green, I absolutely love that green. Yeah. And although I'm calling it green, Jamie perhaps called it teal, but I thought it was a very sophisticated colour for a living dining space.
Yeah, it was beautiful.
I think it would work
really well
for both.
Yeah, and some of the standout things for me were the terrazzo table, the effect, and the sideboard.
Yeah.
God,
yeah.
That was so gorgeous, so modern in that real kind of Georgian scheme. I love that. I really love the way as well that they hid the horrible Artex ceiling with a sort of visual texture with a broken to colour technique, because you didn't notice that Artex anymore because it had gone. Wasn't so sure about the pipework lighting. I could see where it was going on that.
Yeah.
I didn't think steampunk and Bridgerton kind of worked. That was the only thing I would have gone.
It's one of those extra touches that didn't need to be there.
No. But I did love the, I love the wallpaper. I thought that was great. And Jamie loved the wallpaper as well, which I didn't expect, but he did. He did love that wallpaper.
He did say he liked the wallpaper, didn't he? And I think Donna and Sarah, when they were putting out, they clearly didn't like it at all and thought, no, this is not going to go down very well. But I think, I think we're all probably quite surprised that Jamie did actually like that wallpaper. As an overall scheme, the green, the backdrop of the green, the terrazzo, really kind of modern finish, all achieved with paint as well, which was brilliant. And the wallpaper and some of the kind of touches like in the blinds, I kind of noticed that there was lots of pattern there. I actually thought was really good. I did actually like the bones of the scheme. It was just kind of some of the furnishings to me that like let it down a little bit. Like the chairs, I thought, like you say, were a bit extra. I didn't really like those. The pipework lighting, not so much.
There were only a couple of things in that scheme. And I absolutely loved that I know that it was a fake plant wall, but the living walls and then the pictures in the
fake living walls.
That Greta Thunberg would not like.
Made of plastic. Never mind.
But he was bringing this element of biophilic design.
Yeah.
Reconnecting with nature and actually making that room that was very dark feel like it was full of fresh air in a sense. It brought this sort of living element to it. And I love the little tables as well, the coffee tables with fairies in them for the girls.
Oh, I forgot about those. They were cute.
I actually went straight onto the internet to go and buy a couple of those because I just thought they were brilliant.
Of course. Adorning a living room near you soon.
Let's pucker up now, Steph.
Pucker up,
pucker up.
That is the design manifesto, of course, of Donna and Sarah. Mm. So this was Donna's bedroom that they were doing up, wasn't it, in the makeover. So Donna, as a person, clearly eccentric, really liked colour and vibrancy. And, you know, you could clearly see that she was, you know, that kind of person herself. But and then you saw her bedroom and you thought, what has happened? Is this the same person?
It was like a sort of, the bedroom was very much kind of a little sparkly girl. And when you saw her, she's proper woman, you know, 150% woman. And yet this bedroom just didn't say who she was.
No.
Yeah.
But so that was quite surprising to start off with. Yeah. And of course, Sarah was workmates with Leanna. So this was big pressure for Sarah.
Yes.
And I felt like that. For me, Sarah was the undertone of nerves throughout the entire program.
Oh, absolutely.
And you could really see that it obviously meant quite a lot to be doing not only Donna's bedroom, but then have this link to the other family as well, in Leanna being her workmate. So
big pressure on her. I bet she didn't sleep for those two nights. I bet she slept very, very, very well right at the end of it, but bet she didn't sleep. Yeah, it was her face. Which is why we watch Changing Rooms.
Oh, yes, let's not forget.
Like this sort of emotional tension and this, you know, what are you going to do to your friendship with the power of paint? You're either going to cement it or you're going to close the lid on it forever.
Yes. Yeah, thankfully. Well, yeah, that jury's out a little bit perhaps. But overall, I'd love to go back and see if Sarah and Leanna and Donna and Jamie are still talking. But what I really loved about Donna is she was bang up for it, wasn't she?
She was up
for something completely new, completely different. And I think you need to be in it for that when you're doing Changing Rooms, or even if you're watching it as a viewer, you know, it's definitely the kind of show where you do need to just, you know, be in the moment and appreciate it for what it is. So that brings
us... High points of the room. Tell me the things you liked.
Do you know what? This was not my favourite. I've got to be honest. It wasn't one for me. What I did like was that it completely suited Donna. That's the bit that I love about it because it's not for me. I'm not going to go and paint, you know, wild poppy squiggles on the outside of my doors in my house anytime soon. And I'm certainly not going to be doing any latex. I'll give you that. However... you know, what was brilliant for me, and this is what design and Changing Rooms is all about, is that that brief was all about Donna and taking what was very bland and not Donna and making it into 150% Donna. And she loved it. Like, she loved it. I think that was brilliant. Yeah. So not my taste, but I totally got where they were coming from. I thought there wasn't a better person to receive that brief than Donna.
Absolutely.
And they went for it. Russell and Jordan went for it and, you know, explored all of their own childhood dreams in watching Changing Rooms in the process.
Yeah.
And wasn't it marvellous to see her lover at the end?
It was. A little tear. I thought that was really, really lovely. I actually did like the squiggles around the door. In fact, that was the only thing in the room. Well, not the only thing, but I loved the chair at the dressing table. I thought that was really, really nice. I liked the round bed, but when you saw, I don't know if it was Russell or Jordan who kind of lay on it and their head and feet came out of it.
I
hope she's quite small because I can imagine having to sleep in the fetal position for the next few years would not be up my street. But I did love the idea of a round bed.
Yeah, it's definitely different.
I like the squiggles because they were playful and I like the freehand nature of them. But I have to say, I kind of agree with you on this one. This was not my favourite one. I've got this thing about comfort, you know, sort of visual comfort and physical comfort and the whole carpet tiles on the floor. In fact, at Dulux HQ, we have carpet tiles and they're office tiles.
You know,
and
as many offices do.
Yeah,
they have a purpose.
And even though I'm quite happy to walk on floorboards with bare feet, because that feels like quite... But carpet tiles, there's something about them. They're not really forgiving. But I love the colours. And I thought they were very brave, and absolutely, this decorating isn't about what you and I really like.
No,
is it, Steph?
No.
We know what works, but you decorate for yourself and you decorate for love and to express someone's personality, and they absolutely nailed that.
They did, and that is really what it's about, isn't it? I have to say. The bit that really kind of topped it off a little bit for me in that room was the carpet tiles. I thought they could have actually just left the floor, because that was equally as dull as the beginning of the room and the very greyness that Donna is clearly not. But don't put checkerboard carpet tiles in purples and reds down. That that's awful.
I would have had a few rugs over that. Yeah.
Sure. Yeah. I mean, what would have worked equally as well, in my opinion, is to just have a relatively neutral coloured carpet, because carpet in a bedroom is a nice thing to have. And then just put, you know, like a lovely, I was going to say jazzy, that's a very 80s thing for me to say, a lovely jazzy rug.
Yes.
That would have been fine. Yeah, don't put carpet tiles down. Yeah.
That must have been a lot of effort and it didn't quite work.
I wasn't sure about that. If I were Donna, I'd be getting some new carpet.
Are you going to be making some of those false nail lamps though, Steph?
No. In a word, not for me. However...
A whole new set of teeth, maybe.
Maybe. Again, not my thing. But it said Donna though, didn't it? Really? I couldn't believe that she was doing the decorating with her like 2-inch talonous nails.
That was brilliant.
Love that. So, you know, clearly that was one for her. Yeah. And I did like their reference because I too went to go and see that Alexander McQueen show and it was amazing.
It was.
Replicated in a lamp made of false nails, not so much. However, I can see what they were trying to do, and I appreciate it.
I think that and the wall of hair, I think that those two kind of like moments, changing rooms,
and the disco sausage.
Oh, and the disco sausage, of course.
That's going to be what Changing Rooms is remembered for this year, I think. Yeah. Those two LG moments, but hey, they make good TV,
don't they?
So we've had a good time talking about them.
They do.
And we talked about the reveal. Donna, tears in the eyes. I think she really liked it.
I think she
loved it.
I think she genuinely did. And I think that the other guys, they'll get used to it. I think that was an interesting one. It was growing on them because I watched it a few times.
Yeah.
And it grew on me and I kept on thinking, oh, that's really nice. Oh, that's nice. That's nice.
Yeah.
I really like the pictures. And I started clocking and, you know, seeing things every time I looked at it, seeing something new. And I think that would take them a wee while just to get
you mean
to
Jamie and Leanna?
Yeah, Jamie and Leanna. Yeah.
I know what you mean. And actually, we heard when we were doing the interview with Russell and Jordan previously, that reveal moment, I mean, it's you as a person experiencing that makeover, it's going to be totally overwhelming, isn't it? And then you've got a camera in your face and you've got lights in your face. And so they probably didn't really get too much of a chance to really take in all of that design. So I think Jamie's going to come round, you know.
Think so, definitely.
I think he was like 80% there on the reveal.
Yeah.
And I reckon they've got him up to 100% since. Yeah. So, a bit of a mixed bag this
one. Here's a little thing. I was looking at Lawrence and thinking, I think Lawrence has lost a bit of weight. I thought he was looking very slim of face and kind of taller.
Maybe you're right, actually.
I thought, that's not an awful thing to say.
No, I think it's probably...
Get out.
No. No, do you know what? I think because we know the way this was filmed, this was one of the last episodes, wasn't it, to be filmed. So it probably was the case.
I think
it was just knackered.
I think it was running around and that was definitely a diet he probably didn't want. But he was looking very good at that last one.
I thought so. Yeah. I thought so too. And do you know what? I you could also tell that this is one of the later episodes because I just thought you mentioned it at the beginning of the episode where the banter between them was all just, it just really felt like they were a proper kind of, you know, on-screen family by that point.
Yeah.
You know, Anna being the kind of annoying younger sister that just like ruins stuff in your bedroom that you want to get rid of. But she's definitely been like one of the highlights of the series for me.
I know. And then cutting through all of that silly designer talk, you know, the kind of like, even though we love designers, that kind of like, it's a justification of something. Oh, it's just a circle. Ah, it's just a this. I don't really like, let's cut through all of that. And let's just get to what this really is that you're doing.
Yeah, yeah, loved it. So, well, isn't that sad? That's the last time we get to talk about designs on this series.
I know.
Yeah. Well, as you can tell, we have very mixed views of this particular episode, but we have had our own opinions, but we'd love to know what you think too. So do pop us a DM on our Facebook or Instagram pages and let us know what you think of the show and the last episode's final designs. So we'd love to know what you think. So do get in touch.
So let's continue on our changing rooms journey with our very special guest for today's episode. Today, we are joined by Tibby Singh, the real hero of the show, working tirelessly alongside the design teams to bring their designs to life for our viewing pleasure.
So Tibby is the show's resident carpenter and handyman, of course. So when not on our screens, by day, Tibby is a highly skilled carpenter joiner and seasoned property developer with over 15 years experience under his tool belt. Do you see what I did there?
I did see.
Yeah. During his career, he has been named as BBC's Young Carpenter of the Year.
Ooh.
as well as winning several other awards, including the Institute of Carpenters Craft Competition and the Federation of Master Builders Apprentice of the Year.
Well, Steph, we are honoured to have Tibby joining us today to talk all things changing rooms.
So, Tibby, welcome. Hello and welcome to the Let's Colour podcast. How are you doing?
Steph, Marianne, it's absolute pleasure and really excited to be here. Yeah, what a lovely introduction as well. I wasn't expecting that.
No, that's what the guy said earlier. They're like, oh, are you talking about me? Yeah. That sounds really nice when other people say it out loud. Yeah.
But however, where you said young BBC's Carpenter of the Year, I'm not young no more.
Oh,
especially
well,
after four or five weeks of filming. I think I've got some white hairs coming through my beard. Oh, that might be just white emulsion. I'm not too sure.
That's fashionable though, you know. It's that whole silver fox thing. That's fashionable now. So it's absolutely fine. Don't you worry about it. And these are, you know, these are very much things that you have done, aren't they? So you are this person that is in front of us today.
Amazing.
So welcome. Amazing. So the first question that we want to ask you is, do you remember the original changing room show? Do you remember, you know, the format, the designers? What did you think of it? Were there any moments from that show?
Well, I believe it's going to be the 25th anniversary this September.
Yes.
So believe it or not, I was actually 7 years old when it was first aired on our screens.
Just a young'un.
It didn't go down well when I told Lawrence this as well. So
He was probably about your age now, wasn't he, at the time that they filmed?
So I was in my tweens, so just exploring the world whilst Lawrence was probably in his leathers, doing some faux Pierre effect on some NDF probably. But I've heard many obviously stories. My parents remember it really well and have, you know, great memories. And the most iconic obviously moment is the teapot episode.
Oh,
so
that
always gets mentioned. We haven't even started the podcast yet and we've mentioned teapots.
Oh, I know. It was gonna come up. We've done a sweepstake as to how many minutes that would take for us to mention.
Got that out of the way now.
So you were too young to watch the first series, but did you do catch up? Did you watch some, you know, did you watch some of the old shows? What did you think?
Yeah, so I did catch up on some of the shows on YouTube, and it's absolutely fantastic. And it's coming back after 25 years, and believe it or not, it's the same concept as well. So if you've not seen Changing Rooms before, it's basically two homeowners and who are usually friends. So it could be two couples or a mother and daughter, and they swap homes to renovate a room in each other's house with the help of designers, obviously. And in this case, we've got Lawrence on one side and Russell and Jordan on the other, so what could possibly go wrong?
I mean, you say that, but you know, well, time will tell. I think time will tell.
So, when you got that call, I mean, you know, when you were asked to join the show, were there any reservations? You know, was it a kind of like a clear yes or a all flipping out? I'm not sure.
No, I mean, how could I possibly say no? I actually remember the interview very well. I had the interview in my workshop. It was winter, it was freezing cold, and very windy as well. And in my workshop, I've got these metal shutter doors. So every time the wind would come, they'd just rattle. And sod's law, the wind would only come when the producer would ask me questions. So I'd have to ask him like a few times to repeat that question. So I remember coming off the call and speaking to my brother and saying, oh, that didn't go very well. You know, he probably thinks I'm hard of hearing. But then didn't hear from the team for a few weeks and just got a phone call out of the blue saying that they wanted me to be part of the team. It was just unbelievable. And I came off the call with just a big, massive smile from ear to ear, literally.
Yeah.
And I remember me trying to tell my family with a straight face. So, it was a fantastic day and just humbled to actually be part of Changing Rooms.
So that brings us on to the show and the new format. So how much are you enjoying working with the new team? You've got obviously Lawrence, the two LG boys, Russell and Jordan, and Anna. So how are you gelling as a team? Are you enjoying your time with them?
No, it's an absolute pleasure to work with them all. You know, working with quintessential interior designers like Lawrence and Russell and Jordan is just, it's unbelievable. You know, Lawrence has been in the game a long, long time. He knows what he's doing. He knows what he wants. And it's just mesmerising actually seeing him at work as well, doing these paintings and the effects he does on the materials.
Yeah, because he's quite hands-on as well, isn't he? Yeah. He really gets in there and does, you know, a lot of the painting. And
he does, yeah, in his leathers, yeah.
Of course.
You'd think, well, no, I don't think he'd be too much hands-on, but he actually gets stuck in and, he'd be there with a paintbrush and getting cracked on. And Russell and Jordan as well, it's been a pleasure to work with. We've had a great laugh with Russell and Jordan. I remember actually... making one of their projects and then just leaving them with my jigsaw to carry on. It took them a bit of time to actually figure out how to turn the jigsaw on, but yeah.
I bet that was quality viewing for you, though.
Definitely, yeah. But I mean, they know about designs and some of the designs that they've come up with, very bespoke, unique, definitely quirky. So yeah, just looking forward to actually seeing it on TV now.
Oh, I mean, filming a new series of anything has its challenges, but doing this during lockdown, during COVID, how was that? What kind of challenges did that bring? You know, what was it like filming in isolation almost, or in a big bubble?
Yeah, it was very difficult and intense, to say the least. You know, being away for 4 or 5 weeks, I think it definitely took its toll, and doing the work obviously back to back as well, it was very intense. And Anna as well, she was lovely, you know, very professional. And I remember, you know, working on set and at break times. At one stage, we was working on like a farm, and there'd be horses like on the farm. And at break time, she'd just go up and start feeding the horses. And then on another location, there were rabbits in the back garden, and she'd be feeding them. And she actually saw I was working like a dog myself. So she'd come up to me and say, "Oh, Tibby, have you eaten? Have you, you know, are you okay?" Oh, she was absolutely lovely. So like I said, with the team, everyone was just so lovely to work with, honestly.
We did have a mention with when the preacher said, "You worked so hard."
Yeah. Oh. Yeah.
"You just worked so hard." And they said that by the end of it, you'd lost quite a lot of weight.
Did you really? I didn't have much weight to start off with. I was fading away by the end of it.
Shadow of your former self, but you've recovered now. You're looking great.
I've recovered.
Brilliant.
And what we really want to know, Tibby, is we feel like you're the man for this job because you've seen it all. We want to know what it's really like on set with those designers, because we can only imagine there's got to be a little bit of competition between them, right? Because each of them have told us that, oh, you know, it's so wonderful and they're all great. Right.
Everybody's so good.
But we don't believe them. So go on, tell us, what's it really like?
Competition at its best, yeah.
Yes, exactly.
At one stage I thought I was on Interior Design Masters.
Yeah.
No, it was, I think definitely there's that element of competition. You know, they both want to, Russell and Jordan and Lawrence, they want to create something beautiful, something that has a wow factor for the homeowners. But at the same time, you can't really compare the two because both designs are literally completely different. They're, you know, the opposite ends of the spectrum. So it's difficult to compare in that way. And that's what's great about, you know, well, what I think is going to be great about this changing rooms is because hopefully there will be something for everyone. Definitely something to look forward to.
Brilliant. No, he's not going to tell us any gossip, is he? They didn't. Yeah, no, yeah, he's not going to tell us.
He's too nice for that.
Yeah,
he's too nice.
Got a juicy gossip. I mean, I think we'll have to do a separate episode on
that. Yeah, it's the late night version of it. We're not going to get anything out of it.
In terms of the gossip, I mean, to be honest, we the trade teams, we were working like till 10, 11, 12 o'clock at night. We were going back to the hotel and just getting our head down for a few hours and then back on site. So we didn't really get involved any gossip or hear any gossip. So if there is any, just please let me know.
Okay, I'll tell you afterwards. I'll tell you about that afterwards.
You'll have to listen to the other podcast episodes to find out what the others said in their what happened in the parties and in the after show.
I mean, but plenty of small anecdotes, I guess. I mean, I remember being on one location and obviously Lawrence, everyone knows Lawrence, just wanted a selfie with him. And an ice cream van pulled up actually on one location, said, "Oh, can I have a selfie with Lawrence? And if I can, I'll give everyone a free ice cream." However, the health and safety police were there, so we sent him away.
No. Yeah. Oh, that's rotten. Oh, that's from God.
Cold, isn't it?
Oh, no. So the ice cream man didn't get a selfie
and we didn't get any ice cream.
Oh, that is a horrible thing for COVID. That's terrible.
No, COVID just ruins everything, doesn't it?
It does.
Never mind. Next time, series two, I reckon.
Yeah, you'll get all the ice cream.
All the ice cream
you'll ever want. Yeah. We hear that even though you, yeah, there wasn't you saying there's no competition between the designers and we're all playing nicely together. We do know, we have heard a little bird telling us that there were big disagreements about, you know, Tibby time, because you were the most valuable person on that set, yeah, and everybody wanted Tibby time. We also heard that Lawrence took quite a lot of Tibby time at the expense of 2LG. Yeah. But is that true? Is
yeah.
that true?
Yeah, you know what? I wasn't aware of the Tibby time, so I'm not too sure who kind of invented the Tibby time. yeah, every time I was going from house to house, everyone was just saying Tibby time, the trades and Lawrence and Russell and Jordan. And I guess it was just, it was swings and roundabouts. I mean, sometimes I'd spend more time on Lawrence's builds, and then other occasions I'll spend more time doing Russell and Jordan's. So it was a bit of a balancing act, trying to push both projects along simultaneously, making sure that the other trades have enough work to do in terms of painting and decorating, the electrician and the floor there. So yeah, there was a lot to think about, and trying to get both projects finished was challenging, to say the least, I guess.
I also understand that you are a perfectionist. You're a real craftsman. Mm. We know you're a craftsman, and that must have been so tough to do your very best when you've got such a limited amount of time. We heard that you worked way late into the night to get those jobs done.
Yeah, I'd like to say, yeah, I'm a bit of a perfectionist. And I think to start off with, that's why I was a little bit apprehensive actually getting involved in changing rooms, because I was thinking, well, how am I going to do all these tasks in such a tight deadline?
Yeah.
However, you know, I'm optimist as well, so I couldn't say no to it. And I was willing to actually stop late to get the projects done. But you'll have to wait and see if they actually did get finished as well.
There's a sneaky cliffhanger.
So we have also heard not only about Tibby time, which was great. We feel like we've got a
national
Tibby time
national
here.
Phrase now. It's going to catch on.
We also know that you're the king of the one-liner. Really? So yeah, we've heard a lot about these one-liners. So we wondered. We have a segment on our show called Dr. Yeah. Dulux, right? So Marianne, actually, she has it here. I wonder if she can demonstrate it for you. She has her very own stethoscope here.
Watch this. I'm going to turn into a doctor.
Yeah. She is Dr. Dulux.
I'm now Dr. Dulux.
In her spare time.
Take it off. And Marianne again.
She's back, Marianne again. Look at that. So we love a doctor related yeah. pun. So I heard a great one last week that yeah. I'm going to share with you, because I think it's awesome, and I cannot believe it's taken us three series to come up with this. But obviously this is not a stethoscope, but it's a stethoscope.
It's a stethoscope only when Steph is wearing it, though.
Is it a stethoscope?
Yeah. So what could it be when Dr. Dulux is wearing it? It's just a stethoscope.
Just a stethoscope, yeah. So it, you know, we do love a pun.
So if you think of one, throw one in there. We're not putting you on the spot now. Yeah, we can hear his brain working now.
I was going to say, you've got me thinking now. But with the one-liners, it was just quite spontaneous, I guess. But I remember Lawrence saying, oh, you could write the Christmas cracker jokes after this. so kind of sticking to the joke side then, a painter and decorator went to the doctor, Dr. Dulux, and said, I'm always feeling cold. What do I do about it? And Dr. Dulux turned around and said, just add another coat.
Oh, that's it.
Love it. That is fantastic.
If Dulux are going to make any Christmas crackers, just add that.
That is it. We are so on that.
We should do that.
I'll give you that one for free.
Yes, amazing. We love it. We knew we'd get something out of you. There you go. But do send in your puns if you think of any.
I'll send them across, a doctor-related pun.
Well, I'm going to hand over the magic stethoscope to Tibby today to become an honorary Dr. Dulux, because we wanted to ask you a question, kind of like a Dr. Dulux related question. So about your tool bag. So if you were advising, because a lot of people will be watching this show and they won't have done decorating before, they won't have done DIY before, they're kind of real newbies. My kids are the same. So Dr. Tibby, what would you advise a new DIYer to have in their toolbox? What were the tools you should just recommend them go out and buy? Yeah.
Well, definitely need the basic essentials, which are a handsaw, screwdrivers, and you need a decent drill. I think these days, you know, drills, they're not that expensive, and you can pick one up for a decent price that can actually do quite a bit as well, you know, just for screwing up kind of drilling holes for screwing up pictures and frames and things like that. I've got loads of tools that I forget which tools I've got. But yeah, them basic essentials will kind of do the odd jobs around the house. and a decent toolbox as well. I think after filming the show, you know, I've got a toolbox with wheels on, and that's been really handy, especially going from house to house.
Yeah.
So my tools were literally scattered everywhere by the end of the day. So I think I spent about half an hour, 45 minutes just trying to find all my tools at the end of the day. But yeah, you just need a few tools to do the job. But I guess it's, you know, what do you do? Do you want to actually achieve? What jobs do you want to do around the house?
You are going to inspire a whole generation of DIYers, which is going to be really lovely. You're going to kickstart something amazing, Tibby. I'm sure you are.
I tried to have a lot of Tibby's top tips as well. Hopefully, I'm not too sure if they're going to be included, but yeah.
I'm sure they will be. Yeah,
we will. But we are going to put a list of your ultimate toolkit in the show notes. So check out the show notes, because we are going to have Tibby's toolkit.
I can go away and send you a basic tool list if you want.
Love that.
We would love that. We would love that, really.
Yeah, we would love that. Yeah, sure.
Put that online.
So now, we can't reveal, obviously, lots about the looks themselves, because we don't want to be a spoiler alert sort of situation, do we? So, but did you have a favourite scheme or a favourite design that you saw over the course of the series? One that we should maybe watch out for, that you think, oh yeah, that one really kind of got my attention?
Yeah, that's a tough one, because every time we finished a build, everyone would be like, this is our best one. And then we'd do the next, this is our best one.
Yeah.
And it seems to just get better and better as it went along. However, I probably have got a couple of my best kind of favourite designs. So there was one for Lawrence, which was filmed in Swansea.
Yeah.
That was definitely at the top of the list for me. It was, I can't say too much, but it was a very exotic colours, let's say.
Yes, I know the one you mean. It's definitely one that you'll notice, that's for sure, isn't it?
Oh, you can't miss this. It was just like the work involved as well was unbelievable. And it was very risky, let's say. The work I had to do could possibly go really wrong. If this goes wrong, you know, it's literally game over.
Yeah, we're not going to have another teapot situation.
Well, let's put it this way. There is something swinging from the ceiling.
Oh,
so, yeah.
However,
it's not teapots involved. It's actually people involved. So, yeah.
Interesting.
Higher stakes. Yeah. More expensive damage. Yes.
Yeah, definitely. So you might be on call, Dr. Marianne.
Dr. Julia.
Yeah.
Not sure how useful you'll be with a paintbrush.
So, yeah, and in terms of, I've got a favourite for Russell and Jordan as well. That was the project we did in Leeds.
Right, yes, okay.
And that was, I really enjoyed that one, because it was unusual for changing rooms. You know, very subtle colours. I wouldn't say monochromatic, but it was just, the theme was really lovely. And obviously it was done in Leeds, my hometown, and God's own county. So and it was just, it was great doing the filming as well. And also we got a personalised thank you letter from the Contribs as well. So that was really nice touch.
Nice.
And at the end, I think on the last day, they bought loads of vegan cakes as well. So they went down a treat. It was a lovely location to film.
Oh, brilliant. Oh, lovely. So, Tibby, can you give us some sneak peeks, so kind of like little idea of what we should expect from the show? And actually, what we were going to ask you is if you can describe the show in three words.
There's a lot of words to describe the changing room, so where do I start? I guess if I have a word for Lawrence, and I have a word for Russell and Jordan, and then have a word for the trades team, I guess.
That's a good way of doing
it, I guess with Lawrence, it'd have to be something like audacious,
nice.
Especially after the build that we've been talking about. With Russell and Jordan, it was scintillating. And I guess with the trades team, because they were just working so hard, assiduous, I guess, would fit in there.
These are great words. I love those words.
I feel like I've left Anna out, but enthusiastic.
Anna is definitely. We'll allow you to have four words.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah.
Okay. Can have a
to be fair, you're not going to kick me out.
No, everyone else stretched the brief. Right. No one's done it in three words yet. So don't worry.
Well, there's a few words here. One not to be missed, then.
One not to be missed. Absolutely. I think we're very excited to see the rest of it for sure. So we are getting towards the end of our interview, and we've heard that you have a great party trick. and I want to know more about this party trick. Not one that I'll be doing, I don't think, but you can play tunes on your power tools. So talk to us more about that. How does that work? What can you play?
It's actually a tune on my handsaw. Yeah, believe it or not. So it's just turning my handsaw into a violin or a guitar. I'm not too sure.
How does it work?
If I got you a handsaw now, do you think you could do it?
I could have a go.
Tell us about it, and then I might nip off and see if I can find one.
Where are you
really
going to get a handsaw from?
I'll have one.
Oh, okay. He's outside using one. I've seen
him.
Yeah, there we go.
But you've been told wrong information about playing tunes because it sounds like a cat being strangled, I think.
Hey.
I can play the Jingle Bells, but I tried to play the Changing Rooms tune and that didn't go down very well.
Oh, did
some,
it not?
Yeah,
oh,
some sore notes.
Yeah. See? There you go. I love that.
To be one-liner, it's got it. Yeah,
we've got it. We've checked that off. I mean, I'd be interested to hear Jingle Bells, would you?
Yeah. I'm going to get a saw after this, see if this works.
Let's give it a go, for sure. Yeah.
And then to end with, we ask all of our guests, what is your favourite colour and why?
Favourite colour? I have got a few favourite colours, I guess, but I do like my bright colours. However, being a Sikh myself, the two prominent colours are blue and orange. So blue represents royalty and orange represents wisdom. So if I'm allowed two favourite colours, I'd pick blue and orange. I believe orange, is orange your favourite colour, Marianne?
It is.
And blue might be yours, definitely.
I'm partial to it. I don't discriminate against any of the colours, of course, but I do like a blue.
Yeah.
A lot of my house is painted blue. So, you know, that must mean I'm royalty, right?
Yeah.
That's what I'm hearing from this.
Yeah.
So I'll report that when I get home.
Yeah. Oh, I love it. We're giving you two favourite colours. Favourite colours.
That's good.
Totally allowed that one.
Tibby, you've been an amazing guest. Really, you are our favourite and you will be the nation's favourite. There is no doubt about that. And everybody, you won't see this, but Tibby bought us a special gift.
He actually made us something
which will be a thing treasured in our lives forever with our own names on. So Tibby, you've been amazing. Thank you so much.
Thank you for having me. It's been an absolute privilege. And I couldn't come all the way from Leeds empty-handed. So enjoy.
We will do. Thank you so much. Yes, let's move on and talk about how you at home can recreate some of the fabulous looks for yourselves using tips and tricks from our very own Dr. Dulux.
Surgery is open. Dr. Dulux will see you now.
In a change to the usual structure of this section, we will be, or more specifically, I will be probing Dr. Dulux to guide you through some of the questions and queries that you might have on what you have seen in the latest episode. So you might be thinking, where can I get myself a job lot of latex? Do I need an 18th century painting revealing my TV, and where do I get one from? Or crucially, what kind of gin do I need to be drinking to design a room as crazy as Lawrence's? Well, wonder no more, because Dr. Dulux is here to help. Dr. Dulux, do you have any answers to these questions?
I have answers to all questions. Okay. Decorating related?
Yes, hello. Gin related? Can you tell us the answer to that?
I certainly can.
Well, why hello, Dr. Dulux.
Hello.
Hope you are well today. Are you ready for our decorating directive?
Absolutely. Fire away, Steph.
Okay, so my first question to you, Dr. Dulux, is around using dark colours and how to use them well. We saw mallard green being used in Jamie and Leanna's living room. Any tips for our listeners on using super dark, rich colours in a scheme?
Well, the first tip is, if you're going to commit to dark colours, really commit to them. One of the most tricky and I think unsuccessful uses of dark colours is just one slab of dark on one wall in the room, because it just really, it draws your attention, but just kind of like hits you between the eyes rather than, puts its arms around you. So use that colour, commit to it, use it on more than one wall. And what I would do to keep that light, so to really make the most of that colour, make sure that you paint the inside of the window. You know, the reveal that goes into the window, that little strip of wall around the outside of the window. Paint that white or a pale colour, and that will allow lots of light to flood into the room.
That's a great tip.
And then you'll really see the colour. And at night, make sure that you've got layered lighting. And what that means is floor lamps, table lamps, wall lamps if you've got them, or spotlights. Anything to rather than an overhead, the worst thing you can possibly do for a dark colour is have a pendant light.
Yeah, just it one just, in the middle of the room with a lampshade on it.
Not
it's
good.
Depressing.
Not good. Really yeah. depressing. It looks like a doctor's waiting room. Not like mine. Mine's
obviously,
mine
yours
has
is very
layered
colourful.
Lighting. But layered lighting will really bring those dark colours to light. But just, you know, my tip or my prescription is commit.
I like that. We like committing to darker colours. I love using darker colours and absolutely use them as that wraparound, or maybe find some like really interesting places in the scheme to use them, like kind of as the backdrop for some shelving or like in a bookcase mm-hmm. or in a kind of reading corner or, but yeah, if you're going to do it and you like that colour, that's the overarching thing, isn't it? Don't
absolutely.
Worry about what anyone else is going to think. If you like Mallard Green, you use Mallard Green.
Absolutely.
That's my tip. And if it's your husband that doesn't like it, do it anyway.
And if it goes horribly wrong, we have this fantastic product called Simply Refresh that goes on in one coat and you can get rid of it before anybody comes home and tells you off.
I love what you've done there. Very good. You can stay. Excellent. Why, thank you so much for that, Doctor. If you at home would like to give that a go, then I prescribe a dose of our excellent how-to videos on recreating this effect or the effects that you see in the episode, which you can find on the website or on the Dulux YouTube channel. So definitely check that out for more information. I have another one for you. Are you ready?
I am ready.
Okay. Let's talk about red.
Red.
All of our favourite colours. So Russell and Jordan used a very punchy combination of blush pink mm-hmm. and then crazy wild poppy as the accent and the detail colours around the doors and trim. Mm. So, but it was quite a feast for the mm-hmm, eyes, wasn't mm-hmm. it? Any advice on how to use those really strong, punchy colours like reds or bright yellows as an alternative? But just a little bit less scary.
Yeah, it's a little bit like sort of, rather than having the red dress or the red suit, you have, you know, a red tie, red lipstick, red nails. So it's using red as details and accents in the room. And it could be as simple as when you open a door and you just see the edge of that door, painting the edge of that door in a red. So you get this gorgeous little flash of it, painting a chair in a red colour or a picture frame, or even having a couple of cushions on a sofa or a pillow on a bed. So red is incredibly powerful, but it can overwhelm us. And if you're feeling a little anxious,
red is not for you.
So not for you. So wild poppy, however, is a beautiful soft red. It's very gentle, so it doesn't really hit you between the eyes. It really is. It's quite cheeky. I think it's a cheeky colour. So if you're up for a bit of playful, cheeky red where it's not too scary, then wild poppy is a great colour to use.
It is a great colour. I do really like the colour, and it's almost kind of got that corally like vibe to it, hasn't it? It's a really lovely colour. I've seen it on a front door, which I thought was amazing as a different alternative to a red. I thought that was a great front door colour. And of course, we've talked about, well, extensively on the podcast, we've talked about pink quite a lot. But of course, pink is a variant of red.
Yeah.
So if you're not feeling as perhaps brave to go out and use red, then, you know, use the toned down version of red, which is of course pink.
Absolutely.
And there are loads of different pinks that will suit every occasion. So definitely go and check out all of our pink selection. And blush pink is a great colour as well that was used on the show. Again, some excellent prescriptions there, Dr. Dulux. As before, you can find on the website or on the Dulux YouTube channel some more information about the things that you've seen in the show. So definitely do check that out for more information.
Oh, that brings us to the end of the series. Oh, Steph, I'm going to get all teary. Can you believe it?
I can't, actually. Yeah, we have we've definitely talked a lot, haven't we? But that's what we do best. That's what we do best.
Yeah.
So, hey. Well, listeners, it's certainly been a journey, but I am glad we have been on it together. There have been highs, lows, sweat, tears.
Walls of hair.
Oh, God, disco sausages.
Dirty protests.
Pink tongues on ceilings.
Peacocks versus flamingo debates.
Oh, yeah. Sticky back plastic.
And our beloved obsession with MDF.
And, of course, we couldn't talk about this episode without mentioning a whole lot of leather.
It has been really magical.
It really has.
So, Steph, now changing rooms is over. What else will we have to talk about?
I'm just not sure, you know. I'm not sure there's anything else that's existed in life over the last 18 months, to be quite honest.
As ever, you can find links to all of the relevant resources on any of the things we've been talking about on the dulux.co.uk website, including articles and how-to videos covering all of those designs and wonderful paint techniques, so you can recreate whatever you've seen on the show in your own home. Do share with us too using the hashtag ChangingRoomsWithDulux on our social channels. We'd love to see what you've been up to. You can also catch the shows themselves on all four.
And finally, from us, if you have enjoyed listening to today's show or any of the series of our podcast, please, please head on over to your preferred podcast platform and hit that subscribe button so you can be kept up to date with further fantastic content from us across the show. Or leave us a short review and tell us what you enjoyed. We really love hearing your feedback, so please take a moment if you can.
Yes, thank you so much for your support. And that's it from us here at Dulux HQ in our Changing Rooms special.
Sad times.
I know. So it's bye-bye for now. And please do come back for another series of
Let's Colour!